noticed at the beginning of Mass when I introduced myself as being from the Diocese of St. George's in Grenada, quite a few people looked a little strangely at me and thought, he sure doesn't look like a Grenadian. I'm not. I'm a Polish kid from the west side of South Bend, Indiana, raised under the shadow of the Golden Dome of the University of Notre Dame. Go fight an Irish. How I got to Grenada is really a very big part of the story of why I stand here before you today. Almost 20 years ago, a very good friend of mine named Father Ted called me up. He said, Ron, how would you like to go with me to celebrate the 25th anniversary of my ordination? I said, great, Ted. Now, where do most priests go when they celebrate 25 years? Rome, the Holy Land, Lourdes, Fatima, Las Vegas. I said, Ted, where are we going? He said, Haiti. I said, Ted, Haiti's not on my top 10 list of places to visit in my lifetime. He said, please come with me. I want to show you what I do. I knew that he ministered with Cross Catholic Outreach, but I had no idea what he did. I said, all right, I'll go. How long do we have to stay there? I mean, how long do we get to go for? He said, a week. The very first day I was there, they asked me if I would help in a feeding center just outside of Port-au-Prince. This particular feeding center fed nearly 3,000 people a day. You think you've got big pots in your kitchens? You ought to see the size of these rice cookers. Rice and beans, the staple every day. People would line up for hours before the feeding center opened, the elderly helping each other, children sitting on the ground. It was well worth the wait, because for most of them, it would be the only food of the day. People came with little dishes, little cups, whatever they had, and people who didn't even have that came with their hands like this, and you put the rice and beans in their hands, and they ate like this as they walked away. This particular day, there was a child about 7 years old. He came to the table where I was serving. He put down a can about the size of a Campbell soup can. About a third of a ladle filled that little can. He looked up at me and said to me in Creole, "This smells very good." I answered him back in French, "I hope it is very good." But unlike most people who began eating immediately, he took the can, put his hand on top of it, and started walking away. I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Home. My family's waiting for this." I said, "Your family? How many are in your family?" He said, "Seven. Seven people were going to eat from this little can." The woman working next to me overheard the conversation. She said, "I'll follow him." She followed him all the way home to a place called Cité Soleil, Sun City. It sounds kind of exotic. I think many of you know it's the name for the garbage dump in Port-au-Prince where thousands of people live and forage for food every day. There she found his mother and five other siblings living in a little lean-to made of discarded cardboard and tin. Needless to say, that child and so many people like him changed my life forever as a Christian man and a priest. Because you see, up until the time my friend Father Ted took me there, I had a very comfortable life. For 30 of the 46 years of my priesthood, I was a college professor, an academic dean, and the president of a college for 10 years. I had a very comfortable life. I came back from that experience and I kept on saying to God, "Why did you take me there? What do you want me to do? I'm one man. You see the magnitude of the problem." The answer didn't come very easily. One day I sat in the comfort of my living room with this on my lap, preparing my Sunday homily. It was near the time of the anniversary of my own ordination. I recalled what the bishop said to me when he ordained me, and I cried. He said, "Ronald, receive the word of God, whose herald you are. Believe what you read, teach what you believe, and practice what you teach." It was never very difficult for me to believe what I read here. I was raised in a pretty good Catholic home. Spent 13 years of my life studying this and even earned a doctorate in biblical languages and literature to be able to teach this in a college classroom next to the social encyclicals of the Catholic Church, and I thought I did a pretty darn good job. What hit me was, practice what you teach. Because it's one thing to teach about justice, it's another thing to do it. And it's only by practicing what we teach that any of us gains integrity of life. It wasn't much longer after that that I joined one of the poorest dioceses in the world, that of St. George's in Grenada, to care for the needs of the poor in the Caribbean, Central and South America, South Central Africa, and the Philippines. That's my story. That's my journey of faith. That's what brought me to Christ the Redeemer. And what I do here, I do about 48 to 52 weekends a year in another parish someplace in this country, so you know what I've got. Lots of frequent flyer miles. Why do I do this? Because I believe I make a difference. I know I make a difference. Making a difference is why I wanted to become a priest in the first place. I wanted to make a difference in the lives of the people of God. But when you think about this, isn't that what every one of us wants to do? Make a difference in somebody's life? The life of our family, our friends, our community, our church? Making a difference is gospel. It's what this is all about. Jesus certainly made a difference in the lives of people who encountered him. In the gospel proclamation today, he's walking along with his apostles, and he looks at them and he says, "So what's the scuttlebutt on the street? What are people saying about me?" And they said, "Oh, they say that maybe you're John the Baptist come back from the dead, or maybe you're Elijah or one of the prophets." And then he asks the question of them that he asks of every one of us, "Who do you say that I am?" And it's Peter who pipes up and says, "You are the Christ." Then he tells them, "I have to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die, and will be raised up on the third day." And Peter didn't like to hear that. So he says, "Oh no, Lord, not you. That's not going to happen to you. And this is the head of the church." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Behind me, Satan." He calls him Satan. "Behind me. Because you are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do." It's Jesus who realized that God was calling him to a life of total renunciation, of self-emptying, of dying on the cross and rising again, that we might have life eternal. Much like the suffering servant song of Isaiah in that first reading today, where the servant of God says, "I never turned back. I gave my face to buffets and spitting, my back to those who would hit me. I didn't shy away from this because this is what God has called me to do." And James today in that letter says, "Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you an empty faith." Because if we believe, we need to demonstrate our faith. If we believe, we need to show that faith. It is Peter who calls Jesus the Christ. "You are the Christ." Isn't that the basic tenet of our faith? Because every time we say the creed, we say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord and giver of life." If that's what we believe, it's the question that we all have to answer. Who is Jesus for me? Who am I for you, Jesus asks us. And when we answer and say, "Yes, you are the Christ, the only begotten Son of God," then the creed becomes something that is lived. Then our works can proceed, because we do that not because it makes us feel good, but because we know it's what the Lord calls us to do. I don't know if any of you have heard the statistics issued just 3 weeks ago from the World Health Organization, but every day in our world, every day, 23,000 children under the age of 10 die of hunger and starvation every day. That's a staggering statistic. It's unacceptable for our world. It would mean that by the time we finish our time of prayer here today, almost 1,000 kids will have died of starvation while we pray. I always wondered why Jesus said to us, "The poor you will have with you always." I think I'm beginning to understand. Jesus also said to us, "Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of time." If we long to see the face of Jesus, all we need to do is look into the face of the poor, and there we find the face of Jesus Christ crucified. They are the most graphic reminders to us that Jesus is among us still, making a difference. Today, I would like to ask you, in the name of those served by Cross Catholic Outreach, if you would help to make a difference in their lives, You'll find these in your rows of chairs in your pews. Would you pass them down to each other, please? Pass them down, say hello to your neighbor. Make sure you say hello to the person you came to church with so you won't be in any trouble when you get home. Would you put this in your pocket or your purse and take this home with you this week? All I ask you to do is to prayerfully read this. This side tells you about Cross Catholic Outreach, our mission, our ministry, who we are, and what we do. And this side tells you about how little makes a very big difference in the lives of some of the poorest of the poor whom you may have never met, our brothers and sisters in the church who live right off of our shores. Example, $25 feeds 167 children for a day. One can hardly buy dinner for two for that anymore here. $50 provides life-saving inoculations for 10 infants in the developing world. 10 kids get their shots for less than the cost of the visit of one child to the pediatrician for their shots in this country. $100 sponsors a self-help project for a family, helping a family to stay together in a cottage industry as they overcome the burden of poverty. $500 brings clean water to an entire village that now relies on water flowing through its gutters for drinking, cooking, and bathing. And $2,500 helps build a house for people who live in cardboard and tin. Not a dream house, a house they've always dreamed of having. Think about this. We spend that much on a cemetery marker. This comes apart. It's a postpaid envelope that goes in the mail. Your prayer intentions go here because we at Cross pray daily for the needs of our donors. And your name and address go here because, as some of you already know, we like to do two things. Number one, thank you. And number two, be accountable to you by periodically telling you how we use our gifts and what our needs truly are. As you can see, over 95% of everything that Cross Catholic Outreach takes in goes directly in aid to the poor. That's less than 5% overhead. That's pretty incredible. We can only do this because of the loving dedication of the laity and clergy who have banded together to make a significant impact in the face of poverty and hunger right here in our own hemisphere. There is no special collection for Cross. This is your means of communicating with us. The need is so great. Please, don't forget. And if you think you might forget and become a refrigerator person like me, you know what a refrigerator person is. I take this home, I put it on my refrigerator, and I don't see it again until I clean my refrigerator. You don't want to know how often I clean my refrigerator. If you're a refrigerator person like me, would you do something on the way out of church today? I'll be at the back of church. You can drop this off with me. I'll take it back with me to Cross this week, and I'll give you something. I'll give you a hug, not from me, but from the people I serve, because if they stood there and you gave this to them, they'd give you a hug too. They'd probably even sing and dance with you. Trust me, you do not want to see me dance. I am, however, a pretty good hugger, and guys, if you don't want to hug, just hold out your hand. I want to thank your pastor, Father Higgins, for allowing me to be here this weekend, to be a voice for people who have no voice in our midst, and I want to thank you, the people of Christ the Redeemer, for welcoming me. Hospitality is a biblical virtue. Thank you for welcoming me in your midst. I leave you with a blessing. May the poor whose lives you have touched and changed be the first people to greet you at the hour of your death. May they sing and dance with you all the way to the throne of God. And may you hear the voice of your Savior. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.